Proverbs chapter 10 in your Bibles. Proverbs chapter 10. We're just going to keep working our way through the chapter. Lord willing, take a little bit of a bigger chunk out of the chapter tonight. By the grace of God, I plan to quit at 7. I need a lot of grace for that. Plan to quit at 7. Did you get all that? I didn't promise. I planned. There's a big difference, right? But I'll do my best to quit at 7 o'clock. These kids are dying to get outside now that it's warmer. You know, my little one yesterday, she walked up to me at the work day and she said, "Daddy, are you preaching today?" I said, "No." I said, "You want me to?" For a little compliment. You know, if your kids want you to preach, you must be quite the man of God. You know, she said, "No, it's too long." I love that out of the mouth of babes, Mike. You know what my response to it was? I honestly was like, "I'll bet you it really is for you poor little kids. God bless them. But it's good for them, amen." Pop them down in front of that stupid TV and they'll watch some foolishness for an hour and a half and the parents will only catch about half of what the kids are actually getting. And then you're like, "Where did that come from?" Well, the babysitter. Got a real bad babysitter there in your house. You better be careful. You know, that kind of irritates me a little bit, but never mind. That's a different subject. Proverbs chapter 10. Let's get in here tonight. "He that hideth hatred with lying lips, and he that uttereth a slander is a fool. In the multitude of words," this is convicting, "there wanteth not sin. But he that refraineth his lips is wise. The tongue of the just is as choice silver, the heart of the wicked is little worth. The lips of the righteous feed many, but fools die for want of wisdom. The blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich, and he addeth no sorrow with it. It is as sport to a fool to do mischief, but a man of understanding hath wisdom. The fear of the wicked, it shall come upon him, but the desire of the righteous shall be granted. As the whirlwind passes, so is the wicked no more. But the righteous is an everlasting foundation. As vinegar to the teeth and as smoke to the eyes, so is the sluggard to them that send him. The fear of the Lord prolongeth days, but the years of the wicked shall be shortened. The hope of the righteous shall be gladness, but the expectation of the wicked shall perish. The way of the Lord is strength to the upright, but destruction shall be to the workers of iniquity. The righteous shall never be removed, but the wicked shall not inhabit the earth. The mouth of the just bringeth forth wisdom, but the froward tongue shall be cut out. The lips of the righteous know what is acceptable, but the mouth of the wicked speaketh frowardness." Let's pray. Father, we love you tonight. We ask you to open up the scriptures to us. I pray, Father, you'd bring conviction as is necessary. Wisdom and direction for the lives of those seeking and striving and desiring to serve you. I thank you, Lord, for everybody who's come back tonight. I ask you to please bless God. I pray that the Lord Jesus Christ would be glorified, magnified, lifted up and exalted. I pray that you'd be with the words of my mouth and make me a blessing. Help my heart, Lord, to be as right with you as is possible. I pray, Father, you would just rebuke those powers of darkness that resist what the Lord's doing. I pray, God, that you'd open up hearts. Lord, perchance, if somebody's here tonight and they're lost, I pray that they'd realize their need for Jesus Christ, realize that their end is eternity in the lake of fire, and that Christ loved them and died for them to wash them clean of their sin, help them to be saved before they leave here tonight. I pray you'd do what no man on earth can do and deal with that heart, so that every individual may know they're hearing from God, not from a man. I pray, Father, for those Christians in here that just need to be strengthened and directed and helped. God, I beg you by your Holy Spirit, give peace to the heart, direction to the life, clarity to the mind. And I pray, God, that you would just make known to every person what it is they need tonight. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Verse number 18 is where we'll pick up. "He that hideth hatred with lying lips, and he that uttereth a slander is a fool." All right, a man who hides hatred with lying lips is likened to a slanderer. Watch. "He that hideth hatred with lying lips," notice the comma, "and he that uttereth a slander," the comma, "is a fool." So what God did there is he inserted a phrase between "he that hideth hatred with lying lips is a fool." Between the lips and "is a fool," he put an insertion in there. The insertion is "and he that uttereth a slander." So what I believe the Holy Spirit's trying to do is clarify what somebody who's hiding hatred with lying lips is like. All right? Because if we just parked it on hiding hatred with lying lips, you might not totally get what that individual is actually doing. But we all know what slander is. We all understand what somebody who slanders other people. Look, whether you're spiritually inclined or not, there's something in you that automatically knows when somebody comes to you bad-mouthing somebody else in an attempt to destroy that other person, something inside of you goes, ooh, it's just not right. All right? So, I mean, and that even happened here in our church recently. It had nothing to do with anybody in our church. Somebody in our church came and said, these other people were saying all this stuff, and we just felt like really dirty. We felt like, and it wasn't, they weren't talking about dirty and ungodly things. They were talking about people. And they were slandering people and in other people's business. And they came saying, we felt very dirty about that. Something was wrong with that. We actually aren't even going to go around those people anymore because something about that didn't seem right. Can I tell you, if you're born again and you have that feeling, then make sure, number one, you're getting it scripturally, because the devil can give you feelings. Number one, make sure your feelings are scripturally backed. Number two, maybe that's the Holy Spirit of God trying to tell you something. And you might not know what it is, my preacher always said, but you sure enough know what it ain't. In other words, I might not know what I actually need and what I'm actually supposed to do, but man, sometimes when some guys come to me and try to tell me something, I say, something ain't right about that guy. I might not know what it is, but I know what it's not. Amen. So you get that feeling because something's wrong here. I don't know what the problem is, but your radars are going off. Well, there's a reason for that. You're dealing with a fool. The word slander means this: to defame, to injure by maliciously uttering a false report respecting one. To tarnish or impair the reputation of one by false tales, maliciously told or propagated. See, people come out, I don't want to say anything bad, but no, if something seriously bad is going on, then maybe that does need to be dealt with. So it's not like you're wrong to come and say, preacher, I'm very concerned about this, that, or the other thing, if there's an actual problem. That is very different from just slandering somebody maliciously. I know some people that are like that. I'm telling you, they're just mean and nasty, dirty, rotten, wicked souls. They don't drink, don't smoke, don't cuss, don't fornicate, and they're as ungodly as the devil. I'd rather hang out with a crack dealer because I know what I'm dealing with. Some person who is a slanderer can seem all clean and holy on the outside and destroy the lives of other people and enjoy doing it. Actually, they'll repeat the lies so long they personally, genuinely, wholeheartedly believe the lie they're telling. I have seen churches destroyed by people just like that. Preachers' ministries ruined by people just like that. Families torn apart by people just like that. And to tell you the honest truth, I want nothing to do with them. What in us should truly joy in tearing down somebody else? Can I tell you what the motive of that thing is? The motive of that thing is envy, pride, and jealousy. Somewhere or another, another possible motive is bitterness. Somewhere or another, that person has become so tainted and so twisted in their heart and in their mind that they desire to destroy somebody else. The Bible says a slanderer is a fool, right there in verse 18. What about he that hideth hatred with lying lips? Most of us in this room would not maliciously go out to slander somebody, would you? I hope you wouldn't. Purposely tell a lie to destroy somebody. I hope you wouldn't. But you know what most of us have done and will do? Hide our hatred with lying lips. You ever somebody just butters you up, complimenting you, and they don't really mean it? You know what they are? In their heart, they hate you. And what they do is put on a false face and they lie to you. You ever feel like somebody's buttering you up and just kind of get the creeps? Like, you don't mean that. You know what you're dealing with? A fool. Now, I'm not saying every time you like don't like somebody, you should just walk up and say, I hate your guts, you know. That's not necessarily right either. That's not charity. That's not gracious. That's not a true, genuine Christian. But don't stand there and butter somebody up if you don't mean it. Hiding hatred with lying lips. Smiling. And you know what it reminds me of? And I'm not going to go off on this subject. But what it reminds me of is it reminds me of a Middle Easterner making a negotiation at a peace talk. Hiding hatred with lying lips. Now, it's one thing for them to do it. There's not much we can do about them until, you know, government gets with it and sends the military over there and takes care of it, you know, old school style. But never mind. Anyhow, not much we can do about them, but we sure can work on us. You know, somebody in church should start buttering up. I'm not saying, you know, it's wrong for us to edify one another and say something encouraging if you mean it from your heart. Hiding hatred with lying lips. The word hatred does not necessarily mean you want them dead. Some parents say, don't ever say hate. Don't ever, God said he hates some things. What do you go, that's a terrible word. Really? Read the Bible. God says I hate some things. Hate doesn't necessarily mean you want them to die. Do you know that? It says, the definition for it is great dislike or aversion. Hate, enmity. It may spring from offenses or injuries done by a fellow man. In other words, you've been hurt by somebody. Hurting people hurt people. Sometimes when you've been hurt, somebody's offended you, bothered you, a hatred will begin to build in your heart. It's not that you want to slaughter them. You understand that? It can just be like, man, I am really hurt. I can't believe they do that to me. And now your feelings toward them have changed. You're not telling them. You're not dealing with it. But in here, you got some hatred. It's often set apart from a drastic love. Like we ought to love the Lord God with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our mind, and with all our strength. Jesus said, if you don't love me, any man that would come after me and hate not father, mother, brother, sister. He wasn't saying you ought to wish your family ill. He's saying your love for me ought to so far exceed your love for them that when you had to make a decision, you would decide over me just like that. Therefore, your feelings for them are so second place that it's a hatred in comparison to this love. Does that make sense? So you start to hate somebody in that sense, in that context. But you lie about it. God said you're a fool. Well, that's why Matthew 18 is in the Bible. You're supposed to go to your brother. Because that thing will be there and it'll build and it'll build and it'll build and the devil will get advantage. He will get advantage. You're handling it foolishly. Go to him. Verses 19 and 20. In the multitude of words there wanteth not sin. But he that refraineth his lips is wise. Let's take verse 20 with it. The tongue of the just is as choice silver. The heart of the wicked is little worth. This verse always gets me. You know why? In the multitude of words there wanteth not sin. And then God calls a man to preach and stand up in front of everybody and everybody's sitting there quiet. And you're up there talking. A pretty vulnerable feeling. Because you know, as a human being, as a sinful man that needs a Savior, amen? That's me. I had to be saved just like every other person in this room. And I got issues like everybody else in this room. There's one man who is perfect. His name is Jesus Christ. You want salvation? Go to him. I can't do it for you. Confess your sin to me. I won't forget. I might forgive. I won't forget. And if it's criminal, now I'm convicted if I don't do something about it. You understand that? Now you just made me complicit in your sin. Don't bring your sin to me. But you can take it to Jesus. He'll heal it up. He's perfect. I'm not. And you're not. You realize what it must have been like to live your entire life and never let one wicked word come out of your mouth? Never let one wrong thing ever come out of your mouth. Now, who in here could say that? Some of you do-gooders, yeah, you really, really high roll and holy roll, might say you've never said a cuss word. I was before kindergarten because my mom was babysitting my cousin who's my age. I was born in November, he was born in December. Tiny. And now we weren't allowed to say, you know, kids, just give an illustration. Don't you repeat this. Your parents might, you might get you in trouble. We weren't allowed to say poo-poo and pee-pee. It was, you know, technical terms, you know, urinate. You know, I got to say have manners. That was the rule in my home. Well, to me, it felt like a cuss word. You weren't allowed to say it. So I'm hiding underneath the table and getting my cousin going and say pee-pee, poo-poo, poo-poo, pee-pee. I was hiding under the picnic table, man. I wasn't even in kindergarten yet. I felt like I was cussing a blue streak. It felt good, man. I mean, something in my flesh was like, wow. You know what? It's sin is what it is. It's in the nature of a kid who's not even in kindergarten yet. You understand the point that I'm making? There's pleasure in sin for a season, but you know what you don't know is that mom was standing right inside the window. Listening to the whole thing. And next thing I heard was, Michael Richard Reagan Jr. Oh, man, when the whole thing came out, I was dead. Mike, that tone, so, uh-oh. Michael, oh boy, it's on. Michael Richard Reagan Jr., run for your life. Yeah. You realize I know this one thing about myself. I was born with a sin nature. I have to admit there have been things out of my mouth I'm ashamed of. My Savior, never. Never. The multitude of words, there wanteth not sin. You realize you live your whole life, never drink, never dope, never cuss, never fornicate, never look at things you ought not look at, and get to the judgment seat of Jesus Christ. I should have done some research on it. I apologize. Well, I guarantee you can find out what the average person, how many words they would speak in their lifetime. That'd be an interesting study. What do you think it would be? You're going to stand before God and give account for every idle word that a man shall speak. He shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. And think you're going to come out of that thing squeaky clean. Never beat somebody up. Never rob anybody. Never steal something. Never cheat on your taxes. Never look at something you shouldn't look at. Never lust. Never drink. Never smoke. Never do anything that we would, know our big sins. Never. Squeaky clean. Give all your money to church. And stand before God with that alone on your conscience and see how you do. That's pretty brutal, isn't it? In the multitude of words, there wanteth not sin. But he that refraineth his lips is wise. You know, most of the time when I get myself in trouble is when it's kind of pouring out of me fast. When you're frustrated. When you're angry. When you're irritated. Refrain. That's to hold back. Boy, that's hard, man. I'm telling you, that is hard to do. But he that refraineth his lips is wise. You ever had to bite your tongue or bite your lip till it bleeds? That's wisdom. Yeah, but all this was inside of me. I know, but God said you were wise to hold it back. Not easy to do. Not easy to do. Now, this to me is interesting because then God says, all right, now get up and preach. Go to Proverbs chapter 21. I found the answer. Proverbs chapter 21. Lord, what in the world do I do so that when I get there, things are as good as possible? Proverbs chapter 21, verse 28. A false witness shall perish, but the man that heareth speaketh constantly. What's the key to speaking the right way? Not being a false witness, but a genuine witness for Jesus Christ. The words of the wise. What's the key? You see the key in the passage? Shout it out. Sunday night. Huh? Listening. Hearing. Well, that's it. You ever notice how they in a court and they're trying to condemn somebody, they get them to talk? They ask them questions, keep asking them questions, ask them other questions, cross-examine the witness, get them to talk. The wise people are hearing. They're picking up on all the inconsistencies. They're picking up on every detail. They're snagging it. They got it. Now when they speak, they know right what they're talking about. You know what you and I ought to be? People who hear. It's not one of my strengths. All the time the kids are, Dad, 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 Dad. Now you think that would be annoying. It is when you're paying attention.
when you're off in la la land because you got something else on your mind and they're fine, it's like background noise. You know what I'm saying? Between that, the dog's fighting, the wife singing or whatever she's doing, the other kids over there playing house, and you know, and the dad, it's just all kind of like helps. You know what I'm saying? It's like white noise in the background. You know what I mean? You kind of need it to get going after a while. And then the wife says, "He's not listening to you. He's got something on his mind. Can you tell? I'm going to lose it if you say dad won't." And then I'm like, "Yeah, that's really annoying. Stop." It's easy to not hear. Do you understand what I'm saying? It's very easy to just be in your own world. Just have on your mind what's on your mind and not hear. Folks, we need to hear from God. How can I get up and speak for Him and help you if I don't hear from Him? Do you understand that? I have nothing to say. I got nothing to say. "Preacher, what should I do about..." I don't know. I got a wife. I got children. I got a host of my own mistakes and things that I know about that I'm working on. Areas I need to grow in. Wisdom from God I'm asking for. Sit down with teachers, with, you know, three different teachers. The fourth one's in K-4, so we didn't meet with her teacher, but we've talked to her off and on. And just, they go all over these tests and all these evaluations and strengths and weaknesses and blah, blah, blah. And then we discuss social issues and behavioral issues and talk about your kids and get all the details of each kid. And you look at the tests that they take. And you know what? Let me just say this as parents. They're not breaking any news to you. If you're involved, you really know your kids better than they do. But it was a real blessing last week when we sat down with all the teachers, and all the teachers were like, "Here's where you're at." We're like, well, yep. Actually, one of the teachers said, "Here's what I would work on with this particular kid. This is what I..." And you know what we said? It's crazy you say that, because I was sitting there listening. Grace just had that exact talk with her last week. That's a blessing, man. Mommy's all over it. You know, I don't figure out the girls, but mommy's all over it. Praise the Lord. But you know, you look at the different kids and you look at their different strengths and weaknesses, and it's like, they're all so different. I got to try to figure out how to raise each one of these children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, helping them, giving them the best I can give them to equip them for their own future. You know what a huge job that is? I don't know. What should I do about... I don't know. We're trying to figure out our own kids. We talk about it probably every other day. There will be a discussion come up, maybe daily. What do we do about this? Have you seen this? Have you noticed that about her? You know, we're trying. Aren't you? Don't you guys? How in the world can one man not only take care of his own life, but help other people? I'll tell you how. That guy's got to hear from God. You understand there's nothing to say if you don't hear from God? You understand why I'm so tired of these messages that are all about a topic? I'm so tired of messages that are all about a thought. Preach through the Bible or shut up. Amen. Because what may be wise in your little life and work in your perfect world, since you're the example of what we all should be, might not exactly adapt to somebody else's world. But that book and the God that wrote it can help those people. If you'll hear what God says and give them what God said, that'll help them. And that's what we need. So my own mouth, I'm sorry, I'm supposed to be an example. I'm doing the best I can. I mean it. I'm trying. I promise you. I know people see faults. Amen? Right? It's okay, you can say that. Yes, amen, preacher, right? Hallelujah. But can I tell you something? If I'll hear from God and if you'll hear from God, we'll get some help. If we try to make sure we edify one another in the book and in the Lord, we can help each other. If we run around spouting our own opinions all the time and talking about this and getting in each other's business, it'll turn into slander. It'll become hatred covered with lying lips. Church becomes a gossip session where all the little chickens are running around the hen house until nobody has feathers left anymore, and all open, oozing sores. You ever seen that? That's a fool. Man, you got to hear from God. I'm praying, and I mean I'm praying, and by the grace of God, I'm going to pray more. That we just hear from God when we show up here. Honestly, I could care less. I could care less if you're entertained by my delivery anymore. I read it recently in a book I'm reading just for casual reading.
said, it said content is more important than style. Had nothing to do with the Bible. Had to do with, actually had to do with fighting. A book by a professional fighter. He said content's more important than style. Style gets the shows, but content wins the fight. You understand? We need some content. We need to hear from God because that's where the power's at. All right, let's keep going. Verse 20, the tongue of the just is his choice silver. Why? Because he heard from God. The heart of the wicked is little worth. You ever notice wicked people got pretty much nothing on their mind but sin? You know how shallow wicked people are? I know exactly what you want to talk about. Not you, the wicked man. I know exactly what to talk about. Something wicked, something ungodly, something dirty, something nasty. Your heart is that shallow. You're selfish, you're self-centered, you're self-absorbed, and you're going to reap what you're sowing. So enjoy it. I mean, seriously, I'm not trying to be arrogant or sarcastic or rude. Enjoy it. Knock yourself out. Because this is all you got, however long God gives you. And in the text, he says he's going to cut you short. So enjoy what you got. You better live it up good. Because you're going to spend eternity in the lake of fire, and you're not going to enjoy a stinking thing. You're going to spend eternity burning in hell. So go on, fool. I mean, just party away. Live your life for the devil if that's what you want. For me, forget about it. There's pleasure in sin for a season, and then you got to reap what you sow. And I know that by experience. The chickens come home to roost, and all the pleasure you thought you were having is all an ancient memory that you cannot ever go back and fulfill. You chase it. Just go try it. Chase pleasure in every beer bottle you can and see if you ever catch it. You get to the bottom and it's not there. It's not fulfilled. Throw it out and get another one. Get to the bottom, it's not there. It's not fulfilled. So you're not going to find it. Well, the Bible says that at his right hand there are pleasures forevermore. You can have that life, brother. I'm thankful I got God. And it ain't Mike Reagan. You understand what I'm talking about? It's him, man. It's knowing the one that created me. He's the one that fulfills me. I don't care for that. I don't want it. I want my heart to be given to God. Verse 21, the lips of the righteous feed many, but fools die for want of wisdom. Lips of the righteous feed many. Well, I already showed you the key. It's hearing. It's hearing from God. If you'll hear from God, then God can use your lips to help other people. But the fool, he dies for want of wisdom. Wisdom is taking knowledge. All right, we got a lot of knowledge in this generation. You know, you go to college, you get a lot of knowledge. Taking knowledge and then using that knowledge to apply it practically to a situation to get the best possible outcome. How many people do you know have knowledge? Some really smart people. Have you ever noticed? You know what the funniest thing is? My wife and I learned this recently. Most of your business owners have solidly average IQs. I never knew that. Like, you would think the guy who's super successful in business had a super high IQ, but most of them actually don't. They're solidly average at best. And geniuses, literally geniuses, oftentimes work for very average people. Ain't that weird? How does that work? You know what the problem is? For a genius, most things come so easy they never learn a work ethic. So for them, it's easier to just say, tell me what to do, boss. No problem, I got it. He's like, hey, would you figure this, that, or the other thing out? Sure, I got it. Comes easy to them. They go get it done. What's next, boss? And the guy asking the boss is like 100 times smarter than the boss. Ain't that strange? You know what the difference is? One guy has knowledge. The other guy has wisdom. You realize if I got to pick one, I'll take wisdom any day of the week. I'd rather take the little bit I got and know how to put it to good use to bring a good outcome than to know it all, not have any wisdom to put it to work. Does that make sense? Pick wisdom if you can pick one. What does fools die for? Fools die for want of wisdom. You know something strange about God? I don't think IQ ever shows up anywhere in the Bible. The closest thing you get to it is he says, comfort the feeble-minded. Well, feeble-mindedness is if your IQ is between 70 and 80. It's considered a feeble-minded person. So somebody who's, you know, feeble-minded. God said, comfort them. Have a ministry to them. You know what we typically do? Shun them and ostracize them. When a group is standing here talking, that one's kind of pushed to the side a little bit. God said, be a comfort to them. Why? A feeble-minded person is easily messed with, manipulated by other people. And I think about that as a pastor. I think ministers and preachers and religious leaders typically will manipulate people who need some comfort, but can't always think through it all like the average person can. That's why cults are built on the weak. You know, a funny thing I learned about cults, I just recently learned this. They like college campuses because they like to get freshman kids fresh out of high school, separated from their family, scared and needing something to connect to, and they like to get them into the family. You know what they're doing? They're capitalizing on a lack of comfort. That makes me mad. God said, comfort the feeble-minded. Closest thing you get to it. God's more concerned about whether or not you can learn wisdom. If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. I could care less how smart you are or aren't. It doesn't matter to me. It doesn't matter to God. Ain't that a blessing? Ask God for wisdom. Wisdom's what's important. All right, look at verse 22. The blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich, and he addeth no sorrow with it. Now let me just talk to you for a second. This is a great verse for our day and age. Because we live in a day when people are all, Americans, are all about blessing. Oh, the Lord really blessed me this week. Oh, bless it. Oh, you know what I got? Did you see how much money I'm making? What kind of car I drive with? Oh, God really blessed me this week. You realize the devil can also bless you with monetary blessings? How do you know God gave it to you? What have I always told the young guys? Two things the devil will use to get you out of church. What are they? Woman and work, right? The Lord's really blessed me. I'm telling you, I can't tell you how many guys in their early 20s have come to me. Oh, preacher, God really blessed me with a good job. Oh. What did I tell you, man? What did I tell you? Oh, they come in all of a sudden with a little more pep in their step. I got a girlfriend. Where'd you find her? What'd she believe? Oh, she'll come along. Sure, of course she will. I asked her. Uh-huh. What'd she tell you? Exactly what you wanted to hear. She told you you're good looking too, stupid. Amen. That's a joke. I'm glad you got it. Be careful. God's not necessarily concerned about whether or not you're rich here. Well, one church that had a building that was rich was Laodicea. And God said, what you don't know is you're wretched, you're miserable, you're poor, you're blind, and you're naked. You know what he was talking about? Up there. When God blesses you, folks, it makes you genuinely, truly, and totally rich. Now, if you come rob my house, you're going to be disappointed, all right? We got a nice flat screen, but that was donated to us. God's good. We hardly watch it. The kids do. We hardly watch it. Well, that's about it. That's the most expensive thing you'll get out of my house if you can get through the pit bull and the German Shepherd and knock yourself out. But I'm a filthy rich man. Now, half my bank account and you might be crushed. I took all this risk for that. Go get yourself a pop. You know, you needed it. But I'm a filthy rich man. I'm rich, man. I'm telling you, I'm rich. Now, I know I speak kind of harshly sometimes and tick people off, but listen. The devil offers you pleasure. You understand that? There's pleasure in sin. That's Bible. How do you like that? Hey, come hear my preacher. He'll tell you how fun sin is, man. It's a riot. That's what I was saying a little bit ago. It's an absolute riot. Knock yourself out. If that's what you want. But it says for a season. And eventually, the season ends. The season ends. And then, it's harvest time. You reap what you sow. You realize if you give your whole life to pleasure, to the things of this world, to making money, to whatever it is, you know, if you're a young guy, it's pleasure, partying, power, influence, whatever, you know, it's a different. I know one guy never drank, never smoked, never did drugs, sold them. He told me his mouth to mine. He's in his early 40s now. He's a preacher. His mouth to mine. He said, I was never addicted to any of that stuff. I like the power. He said it. I mean, you know what I'm saying? The real deal. I like the power. Inner city Detroit. He said, I like the money. I like seeing men scared of me. There's different things that you give your life to. It doesn't always have to be doping and drinking and all that stuff. There's pleasure in it for a season. And then you got to reap what you sow. You got to live with it. The chickens come home to roost. The payday is not always on Friday, but it is coming. Now here's the deal. You die without Jesus Christ in your sin. Now your payday is eternity in the lake of fire. What a bummer, man. I mean, really? I imagine on that day you'd be standing there going, what good was all that? It was no good. What was the point? Why didn't I trust the Lord when the Lord really tried to reach me? The Lord cared about me. But what did you do? You shunned Him. You ignored Him. You went for the pleasure. And now you live with nothing. You're poor. You don't even have pleasure in hell. All these, you know, I'll party in hell, that kind of stuff. I'll see my buddy will party in hell. The party in hell has been canceled due to fire. Sorry about your luck. That's for a lost person. For a Christian, God saved your soul from hell. God's given you something that's absolutely priceless. Can I tell you something? You couldn't pay me enough money to replace Ava, Lillian, Sophia, Anna, or Grace. You couldn't pay me enough money. I would rather be poor. I mean poor. Than lose one family member. God's been good to me, man. I might sell you one of my dogs if you got enough commas in that check. But you'd have to put a lot of money out there for that. I love my dogs. I'm thankful. I love my church. You can't pay me enough money to say, I'll tell you what, preacher, I'll write you this check and you'll never hear from God again. Not till you die. You don't lose your salvation. Here's a check. Why don't you put that check in your pipe and smoke it? I'd rather hear from God. I want to hear from God. That's more important to me than any amount of money you can write. Keep your stinking money. I'd rather have God show up here and continue meeting in a little building, an old sterile white building set back off of 10 mile away, never fix it up, never build a fancy cathedral, never have a huge church, but have God show up and hear from God. That's priceless, folks. You understand something? I'm rich tonight. And you know what so many of us do? We live our lives concerned about the things of this world while we ignore the things that are priceless now. And are going to last through eternity. Probably shouldn't tell you this, but I got no retirement. Now, if you've got one, great. Be smart with it. You know, don't cash it in or all kind of jazz. Talk to your financial counselor about that. I'm not a financial counselor. But I'm not sweating it. Because I know I got something on the other side. Hope, by the grace of God. I'm trying to obey what He said. I'm focused on that. I'd rather just get there and find out what it is. My intention is just to give it all back to the one who really did it anyhow. Because I haven't done one good thing with my life. Not Mike Reagan. But I got a Savior who gives me pleasure and joy and satisfaction and rejoicing and blessings you can't see and I can't sell you. Let's put our focus where it ought to be. The blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich. And guess what? He addeth no sorrow with it. Ain't that something? I'm going to stop because I told you 7 at 7:05. I didn't box myself in, so I'm only a little bit off of my plan, not my promise. But can you imagine that? No sorrow. Yeah, I want to be a millionaire. Are you sure? You realize millionaires got problems you and I don't have, and pressures you and I know nothing about, and worries you and I don't even notice. Like, did you hear what the vote that went on? What are you talking about? What vote? Ignorance is bliss, man. I could care. You know, if they change interest rates, oh, who cares? When interest rates, whatever, I don't care. What does that mean to me? Inflation, oh, what? Huh? There's sorrow with the blessings of this world. That's what I'm trying to tell you. But with the blessings of God, ain't no sorrow with it. And I tell you, if you're not saved, you need Jesus Christ. He's the answer. I can show you tonight before you leave from a Bible, and I won't pull any punches, I promise. We'll talk. If you're a woman, you talk to my wife. If you're a man, you talk to me. We'll talk man to man. Whatever. You don't like what I'm saying, you don't agree, fine. Praise the Lord, man. See you later. Thanks for coming. Right? But if you want to know what God has to say, I'll be glad to open this thing up and show you from the Bible, forget religion, from the Bible, what it means to be saved. How you can know that true riches. True riches is knowing Jesus Christ as your Savior. Amen? Christian, let's worry more about what's over there than here. Father, we love you tonight. We thank you for the folks who came out. We ask you to bless them, Father. Help us to put our focus on you. Help us to be wise Christians. God, we need your help with that because our flesh is always running the opposite direction. Every one of us, Lord, if we're honest, we need you. We ask you, Father, to help us. Help us to be people who hear from God. We ask it in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.